Well, when I first started teaching high school and teenagers, I always told them, I said, I don't really understand teenagers. I didn't understand them when I was one. So this is not going to be a very good possibility. But one thing that you learn about them is they are changing over from kids to adults. They're learning some things that they didn't know. And they start seeing hypocrites. They start seeing people who are two-faced. And they can't stand hypocrites. They hate it. Well, somehow, by the time they become adults, it wears off. It must be because they start realizing they're hypocrites, too. Because we all have a tendency to be hypocritical. And that's kind of what we're looking at here in the scripture. We're looking at a type of hypocrite, a type of person who says one thing but does another. As we come to this passage, as we are in 1 John chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 5 to 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the question I have for you this morning that we're going to try to answer is simply this. What is hindering you from walking in the light? What is hindering you from walking in the light? You've heard the saying, oil and water don't mix. You know they don't, but they do make a good salad dressing. And what happens when you mix the two? They separate, because they don't mix. There's no unity with the two. And the same is true with darkness and light. Darkness and light don't mix. It's either light or it's dark. There's no in between. And that's the same true with God and sin. God and sin. The two cannot go together. Verse 6 through 10, John writes to us the hindrances of Christian fellowship with God through false views on the reality of sin. He, however, does not just mention the hindrance, but he also does give the way to correct the hindrance. And there are three here. And you will see that they kind of progress. The first one we see in verses 6 through 7 is this. Denying the sinfulness of sin hinders our fellowship with God. Denying the sinfulness of sin hinders our fellowship with God. That we often fail to recognize the sinfulness of sin. Verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's an inconsistency in what we say and what we do. If we say we're in fellowship with him, the light, but we walk in darkness, there's an inconsistency. There is a hypocrisy. Now, John uses the word we because he said it's all of us. It's not just you. It can be me too. It's all of us because all believers need to be alert to the danger of entertaining false views about sin. And John is making a contrast between being in fellowship with God, which is being in light, and having fellowship with darkness. The two cannot exist. Some things really are black and white issues. Now, John's not saying that the person is claiming a hit and miss relationship with God. The person's not saying that. But this person is saying that he has fellowship with God, that he is continually experiencing with God. It's a profession that is united with God by a living bond of common sympathy, interest, purpose, and love. Because that's what fellowship is. Remember, there's a commonality in fellowship. So he's not just saying there's a little hit and miss, a little friendship, acquaintance type thing with God, but he's saying, I have fellowship with God. I have a relationship with God. I have an ongoing bond with God. But the guy's living in darkness. The guy's walking in darkness. The word walk denotes a way of life. It is the present tense, indicating that it's a habitual course of action. The word indicates the whole round of activity in daily life, including thought and deed. And John now contrasts these two things. You've got the one with light and fellowship with God. You've got someone walking in darkness. And John says, you two can't coexist. You cannot have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. It's impossible. He doesn't just say it's impossible. He says, it's a lie, verse 6. Wow. Because whenever there is a clear conflict between what a person says and what a person does, the individual's talk and the individual's walk, it's always his walk and not his talk that reveals what he really is. Your walk talks louder than your talk. Now he emphasizes this by saying, look what he says. He says here in verse 6, if we say this, we lie. And he says, and we do not the truth. He doesn't say we do not speak the truth. He doesn't say we do not live the truth. He says we do not do the truth, or we do not practice the truth. Because the human response to God's revealed truth cannot be merely intellectual. It cannot merely be here. But it also has to be expressed morally and willingly in our thought, in our action, in our deed, in our conduct. And I said three words that mean the same thing. Yes, personal fellowship with God demands that truth be incorporated in daily conduct and daily character. Do we really get the idea of the sinfulness of sin? Because if we really got what the sinfulness of sin really was like, we would not have fellowship with darkness and say we have fellowship with light. It's like this. I was going to call somebody up here and demonstrate this, but I thought that could be too painful. You're like, uh-oh, what's he getting into? But have we ever thought of God's point of view on sin? We know he hates it. We know it separates us from him. We know that he has sent Jesus to die on the cross for it. And when sin was placed upon Jesus, he had to look away. We kind of get that up here. But then we get the feeling of it. I want you to picture this. When we walk in darkness, we habitually sin. And sin is the way of life. And as a Christian, we go up to God and we confess our sins. We see later in 1 John 1:9. And this is sort of what's happening here. We sin is like slapping God in the face. We slap God in the face when we sin. And we go up to God and says, I love you. You love me. We have a relationship. I know you'll forgive me. And we keep sinning. We keep slapping God in the face. And we walk away and go, wow, my hand hurts. Do we ever think of what God's face feels like? That's the sinfulness of sin. And we walk away and go, oh, my hand hurts, but that's okay. And we go back and we sin again and we slap God again in the face. Because David, when he sinned against Bathsheba, remember what he said in the prayer in Psalm 51? He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Yeah, his sin did affect Bathsheba. Yes, his sin did affect Israel. His sin affected the other wives that he had. His sin affected his children. But he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. He saw the sinfulness of sin and how sin affected God. From our example, God had a sore face and David had a sore hand. And saw that sin hurt God more than it hurts us. Personal fellowship with God demands that we stop slapping him. I mean, come on. If you were in that kind of marital relationship, you'd say it's abuse. You wouldn't put up with it. But we do it with God all the time. Now, John tells us to stop it. He says, stop walking in darkness, walk in the light. It's not just a mere orthodox profession. It means that we are to have a consistent daily walk in the light. And when one consistently walks in the light, guess what? Though you don't have to go around telling people you're in the light. They'll know you're in the light. Walking in the light results in having fellowship with other believers. It says here in verse 7, we walk in the light as he is in light. We have fellowship one with another, other Christians. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Sometimes hymn writers have a way of putting it that we can't. So let me say this. Have you come to Jesus for his cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you come? Have you come? Are you walking in light? You can't straddle the fence. You can't be part in the light and part in the dark. It hurts too much. You're either walking in the light or you're walking in darkness. Where are you? You're like, Pastor, can it really be that clear? Black and white? Yes. Do you know most situations are black and white? No, it's gray areas. Not much. Because do you realize in order to be gray, it has to have black in it? Oh. Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in the light? Okay, so denying sin hinders our relationship with God. It hinders our fellowship with God. But then if sinfulness hinders our fellowship with our... Denying the sinfulness of sin hinders our fellowship with God. And denying our sinfulness hinders our fellowship with God. John is making a distinction here. Look at verses 8 and 9. He says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, denoting our inner sinfulness, and he distinguishes that from to sin, which is the act of sin, what happens when we say we have no sin? We deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. It's not a simple mistake. It's an action that will have serious consequences. Ironically, such deception rarely deceives God. God knows all. God sees all. God knows it's sin. We're not deceiving God, but we're deceiving ourselves. He says, and then the truth is not in us. That's kind of a powerful statement. If we say we have no sin, it's a lie. It's evidence that's not based on truth. Self-deception results by our deliberate refusal to accept the revealed truth concerning our nature. God has told us we're sinners. We know that we're sinners. And when we say we haven't sinned, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and we're following a lie. And remember who the father of all lies is the devil, so we're following him. When truth is not in us, we're not only empty, but we're full of fiction, full of fables, full of myths, full of self-made fancy notions that are not so. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have a very close friend, I mean a close friend, a best friend, or a spouse, and they're a habitual liar? You're like, not one that's really close. I might have a friend who's a habitual liar, but not that close. We might have acquaintances that are habitual liars, but they're not our closest friends. Why? Because we can't depend on them. We can't depend on them to tell the truth. They lie, lie, lie. Do you see the relationship here with God? How can he have a relationship with someone who's always lying? Who is deceiving themselves? Because when they lie, they prove themselves not to be trustworthy. A friendship cannot be sustained. If we can't have close human relationships with liars, how can we have a close relationship with God when we are the liars? But there's hope. He's given us a path forward. He gives us a promise in response to our confession for admitting our sins. First, God's favorable response to confession, He says, if we are, verse 9, if we confess. Confess comes from the Greek word homologeo, which means to say the same thing, to be in agreement with God. If we confess our sin, if we say to God that we have sinned, and God says it's sin, we say it's sin, we're in agreement, then God has a favorable response. A favorable response, it says, if we confess our sin, it goes back to his character. Doesn't say exactly what yet he's going to do, but it goes back to his character, who he is. He is faithful. He is just. He can be trusted because he's faithful. He can be trusted because he is just. And God acts in accord with his righteous and holy nature. And Christ has fully atoned for our sin. God is bound by his righteousness to forgive all who repent and confess their sin. So based on who God is, we agree with God in his word. We say that we have sinned. We agree with him based on who God is, that he is just, that he is faithful. What's he going to do? He's going to forgive. He's going to forgive. He's going to send those sins away. They're no longer going to stand in between us. They're going to go in to as far as the east is from the west. Let me get something here for you. I don't know if you've ever been in this predicament. I have. I've sinned. I know it's sin. I go to God. I confess it's sin. I get back up and I feel just as bad as it was I went down to pray. I feel guilty. I still feel messed up. I don't feel forgiven. Here's the problem. Feel. But based on the truth of God's word, I know I'm forgiven because God said it. And when God said it, that settled it. Therefore, I believe it. And so then you have to act in accordance that you're forgiven. Don't walk around like, I just don't feel forgiven. I'll act better when I feel forgiven. What are you expecting? A jolt of something? Okay, put your finger in the socket. Don't do that. What are we expecting to feel? But we start acting based on we know that we're forgiven because God's word says it. So if God has forgiven us, who are we to question it? Let me take it a step further. If God has forgiven you, who are you to question it? Sometimes there you hear, I know God's forgiven me, but I haven't forgiven myself. Well, who are you? The great King, the great I Am forgave you. Who do you think you are? Greater than him that you haven't forgiven yourself? He's forgiven you. Accept it. Believe it. Act upon it. Now, Satan's going to come to you and say, well, you're not truly forgiven. Well, you got to stop listening to that lie, too. Because he's going to try to disrupt your peace with God. He can't disrupt your fellowship or your relationship with God, but he can disrupt the peace you have with God. And he's going to try that. He's going to whisper in your ear, are you really forgiven? You know, God can't forgive that. Why can't God forgive that? God said he forgive that. And he tells you, not only are you forgiven, he says you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. Have you been to the blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? See, because sin does produce a defilement. A defilement that only God can. I'm sorry, Todd can't get it out. Ivory soap can't get it out. Whatever stain fighters you have can't get it out. Only the blood of Jesus can get out the stain of sin. And that total cleansing restores us to fellowship with God. It's the blood that does the cleansing, not our confession. Our confession gets the ball rolling, but it's not. Our confession does not cleanse us of our sin. Only the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sin. Have you come to God? Have you admitted your sin? Because sin disrupts the fellowship. Have you fully accepted his forgiveness and cleansing? There's no sin too big that God won't forgive. There's no sin too big that God won't cleanse. And if you are not experiencing the forgiveness of God, it's not God holding back. It's you not going to Him. Come to Him. So what interrupts our relationship with God? What are barricades to walking in the light? First of all, denying the sinfulness of sin. Second, denying our sin. And third, denying our sinful deeds hinders our fellowship with God. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. John seems to be making a distinction between sin and sins. Is there a difference between, besides just one letter S? Yes. We have a sin nature. And because we have a sin nature, we sin. It's not because we sin that we have a sin nature, okay? A dog barks because he's a dog. If that dog decided to meow, it does not make him a cat, okay? If a cat decides to bark, it doesn't make it a dog, although I can see why it would want to be one. All right, but we sin because we have a sin nature. But we do sin, and our sinful deeds do hinder our relationship with God. But to say that we have not sinned is a blatant refusal to acknowledge that any sinful deeds in our conduct. It's a blatant attitude of the unrepentant. It's the blatant attitude of the unregenerate. It's a blatant attitude of the infidel. By stating that we are not sinners, we make God a liar. And we lower God to the level of the devil when we call him a liar. To say that we haven't sinned simply indicates that the gospel message has not found lodging in that person's life. That the gospel message has not found a home in that person's being. See, before you get saved, you're not a sinner. You refuse to admit that you're a sinner. Have you not witnessed the people who are not saved? And they're not sinners. They don't see why they need to be saved from anything. Saved from what? What are you talking about? I'm not a sinner. And that's how we all were too before we came to the blood of Christ, till we came. But have you noticed once you get saved, that's all you sing about? I was once a sinner, then I came. Amazing grace, you know, saved a wretch like me. I saw a meme one day, it says, you can't say anything bad, it sticks and stones may, you know, break my bones so names will never hurt me, because that's nothing, I sing hymns. That tell me I'm worse than that. We're wretched, we're sinners. But these people did not write these hymns before they were saved. It was after they were saved, after they experienced the saving grace of God, after they came into the reality. They know that they've sinned. We know that we sin. And if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. He who is truth, we says lied. So these are the things that interrupt our fellowship with God. John picks it in a picture of light and darkness. Light and darkness, first of all, can't have fellowship. So he's like, come to the light. But now that you're in the light, you can't go back to the darkness. Because these things hinder our relationship with God. The sinfulness of sin. Look, you do not have to get a book, a commentary, or a chapter in the Bible to learn about the sinfulness of sin. You just have to look at yourself. You know how sinful sin is. You know, by the grace of God, we're saved. By the grace of God, we have the assurance of salvation. And many of us, most of us probably at times do struggle with our assurance because we look at our sinfulness still. Like, how in the world could God ever save me? But our assurance doesn't come from the fact of what we do or what we don't do. Our assurance comes in the fact that God sent his son. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We don't doubt God's love because we don't get certain blessings You know, God's not some spiritual talk show host going, you get a car, you get a car, you get a car. And because you didn't get a car, you think God doesn't love you. No, you can't look at God's love based on the things you get or don't get. You got to look at that God loves you this much, that he hung on a cross for your sin and died for you. And that's how bad sin is. We struggle with sin in our ongoing Christian lives because we don't see the sinfulness of sin. We like to, as modern people, we don't like to be too hard against sin sometimes. But the Bible says mortify it. Put it to death. And we're like, oh, no, you have to go that far. Yeah, we have to go that far. It put Jesus to death. The sin that we entertain, the sin that we continue going on, is the sin that put Jesus on the cross. And I tell you, when we start thinking about it that way, it changes our thinking. It changes my thinking. To be killing sin. But we have 1 John 1:9. Now, I know somebody in their Christian testimony, they got saved and they were a young kid and they didn't get discipled. And then they sinned after they got saved and they thought they lost their salvation. It took them years before someone showed them 1 John 1:9. And that's their theme verse. Because if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. Because sinners sin. That's what sinners do. Now we're saved sinners. One day our faith will be made sight. God has saved us from the penalty of sin. God has saved us from the power of sin. And one day we'll fully realize that God has saved us from the presence of sin. We won't see it anymore. It won't be in us. It won't be who we are. I can't even imagine what that'll be like. It'll be nice. So what's standing in between you and your fellowship with God? If you confess your sins to God, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. But don't let another moment go by when your fellowship is hindered. But maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let me tell you what. God is willing to save you today if you will confess your sin. And he'll forgive you your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Because God wants to have fellowship with us. So do not let that fellowship be hindered by our sin or even by our misconception of what sin is. Oh, that's just a mistake. Huh? That I just messed up. I heard someone say one time they no longer sin. They mess up. I think that's sin. What are you trying to say? We need to know what sin is. We need to hate sin. And we need to kill sin. And have fellowship truly with God in the light. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, we really don't like talking about sin. It kind of bears our souls because we are sinful people. And we all struggle with different aspects of sin or different sins. And we want to be rid of it. We want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be walking in the light. So thank you for the message that John gives us that shows us that's possible. That if we deny the sinfulness of sin, we're hindering our relationship with God. If we deny that we sin, we're denying our relationship. We are hindering our fellowship with God. And if we deny our sinful deeds, that hinders our relationship with God too. So as Christians, we need to come, as the word says, confess our sin. And knowing that you are faithful and just, that you will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But Father, it starts, the relationship starts by coming to know Christ as Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we pray if there's anyone here today that does not know Christ as Savior, the day would be the day of salvation. But Christian, are you walking in fellowship with him? Is there something that's hindering? And you think, well, I'll get to it later. Don't put it off. Is there a sin you're struggling with? Confess it. But I confessed it last week. Then you sin this week? He'll still forgive you. He forgives. That's what God does. We may get tired saying, it's me again, Lord. But he doesn't get tired of hearing us. He doesn't get tired of us coming. He has forgiven us. He has put the sin behind him. He doesn't remember it no more. That doesn't mean he doesn't forget. He's an omniscient God. An omniscient God can't forget. But he chooses not to bring it up against us. So don't let your inner voice that says you can't go to God, or Satan who says you can't go to God, hinder you from going to God, because you can go to God. So go to him.